Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? Where women go and men plunder? Can't you hear that thunder?
So with this action item, we are looking to establish the statement of institutional neutrality as a board of trustees policy. The draft form of this policy, which is in the agenda, has been posted for public comment. And earlier this week, we did receive one comment that I think is worth sharing with you all, if that's okay.
This is Jeremy Cool. He is the provost at UWF. And during the most recent meeting, which was back in December, but, with all the stuff going on around the holidays and vacations and people not being here, I finally got a chance to listen to the meeting and cut the audio from it. Very interesting conversation, I thought, a very interesting conversation around the statement of neutrality, which had been in the works for a long time at UWF. And the basic idea here is creating a guiding principle about UWF's position on matters of politics and culture that might be controversial, and essentially saying our position is not to have a position. The policy intro says the purpose of this policy is to affirm the university's commitment to institutional neutrality on matters that are unrelated to core educational mission. By doing so, the university fosters an academic environment where free inquiry, diverse perspectives, and the open exchange of ideas are protected and supported. And you might say, cool. And right. Exactly. This is good. This is Adam Kissel's been one of the key people in all of this. They're working on, if I recall correctly, pardon me if I got this wrong, but I believe this is correct. Freedom and Education. I always forget what FIRE. The acronym is FIRE. It's an organization that deals specifically with these things. He's been closely working with them, trying to get UWF to receive a kind of certification or recognition from them for being an exemplar university in these matters. And again, the point is for the university not to take sides in these kind of controversy issues that are not at the center of their mission, but to let students and faculty have their own views and not to stand as a university in favor of one or the other. The actual policy, this is where it gets kind of interesting. The actual policy, I'm going to actually let him read a little bit from, there's a proposed policy and then there's the faculty kind of asked to change it. Okay, so you have a little bit of a tension between what the Board of Trustees, again, led largely by a group of DeSantis appointees, have basically been pushing for this statement. And the faculty met and the faculty said, we'd like to suggest one change.
The public comment was delivered by Trustee Riddell on behalf of the faculty. And they are asking for one edit to the draft form of the policy.
So they're looking for one change. And you have, it's essentially in the second it's the first paragraph of the second element, the policy. The mission of the University of West Florida requires institutional neutrality. That's sentence one, no problem. Then sentence number two, as proposed.
The second sentence in the policy reads, universities play a unique social and cultural role by cultivating, hosting, and teaching both established wisdom and leading thought.
Okay, so you hear that, and what, if, you're a normal person who understands English, you think, well, that seems pretty bland and fine and whatever. Universities play a unique social and cultural role by cultivating, hosting, and teaching both established wisdom and leading thought. Okay. Well, the faculty at UWF thought that needed some tweaking, some upgrade. So
the current language is cultivating, hosting, and teaching both established wisdom and leading thought frames the university as a passive custodian of existing ideas rather than an active site of knowledge creation. This framing inadvertently undermines the research mission that distinguishes universities from other educational institutions. Universities do not simply host and teach knowledge, we are tasked with generating it. Our mission encompasses research, community engagement, and ethical leadership in service to the public good. Faculty must maintain active research agendas that, by their very nature, interrogate established paradigms and advance new knowledge. This is not a departure from neutrality. It is the fulfillment of our scholarly mandate.
So what they're worried about is that the idea that universities generate knowledge and create new perspectives and don't just teach the existing body of knowledge, but are actually involved in research and the promotion of knowledge. You know, universities teach what other universities or their own university develop. And so it's not a static thing, this, you know, agreed upon body of facts or beliefs or conclusions or whatever, that it's meant to be something where the university faculty are not just telling you what everybody else has always said. They're also telling you what they have learned, because what they have learned is an important part of being a research institution. And that's what UWF, you know, to some degree is and what they want to be. So here's the new sentence.
And so the revision that's being requested is that universities play a unique social and cultural role by cultivating, hosting, teaching, and fostering rigorous academic inquiry across diverse scholarly perspectives and methodological approaches. The revision preserves the commitment to neutrality while also accurately reflecting the university's role as an institution where knowledge is not only transmitted but created through disciplined inquiry.
And if you're just hearing this for the first time, you know, I've heard it like 10 times because I've cut the clips, listened to the meeting, all that stuff. Let me just one more time. The original sentence, universities play a unique social and cultural role by cultivating, hosting, and teaching both established wisdom and leading thought. The proposed revision, universities play a unique social and cultural role by cultivating, hosting, teaching, and these are the same. The beginning is the same. By cultivating, hosting, teaching, and fostering rigorous academic inquiry across diverse scholarly perspectives and methodological approaches. And again, if you're an ordinary person who speaks English, you probably are thinking, Andrew, I know you believe this is interesting. It does not sound all that interesting to me. They sound almost identical to me. I don't understand what the hubbub is about. Why are you covering this first thing in the morning? Well, just bear with me. You know, John, what am I always saying?
Oh, there's going to be a payoff at the end.
Trust me. Trust me. I would not lead you astray. So
promise.
Heather Riddell, who is one of the Board of Trustees members, she replaced Susan James. She is the Faculty Senate President. So she speaks for the faculty at the Board of Trustees meetings. You have the student body president who speaks at these meetings. You have, you know, Board of Trustees members who are appointed by the governor, Board of Trustees members who are appointed by the State Board of Governors. And then you have the member of the Faculty Senate. In this case, it happens to be Dr. Heather Riddell. And she's gonna, you know, explain it a little bit for us why they thought this was an important change.
Yes, there was because we are tasked with that as educators in academia to continue our research agendas and to benefit the common good. We wanted to make sure that the neutrality statement reflected that aspect of yes, we will cultivate and teach established wisdom and leading thought, but we also want to have that idea where we have that academic inquiry. And we are constantly looking for that new knowledge, as we are tasked to do with many of us as we proceeded through our doctoral programs and completed dissertations. So as we were trained in that mandate, we want this neutrality statement to also support that aspect of academia as a whole.
Okay, so it doesn't so much matter what you as a listener to this show thinks of the significance of the words that they have tried to change. But they think it's an important change. The teachers at the University of West Florida, represented by the Faculty Senate and Heather Riddell here, are saying, we don't love this new version of the neutrality statement because we do not think it emphasizes the creation of new knowledge. It's a little bit reductive to say the old version or the proposed version is kind of conservative and the proposed change is a little bit more, and I don't want to use the term progressive, but it's a little bit more explorative. It's a little bit more open to changes and the teaching of new ideas and various ideas as opposed to sort of settled wisdom. And that's going to kind of be your flashpoint in this conversation, is the distinction between the faculty who want room to be neutral and yet expanding, and basically the DeSantis appointees who are kind of thinking, it's all fine to be interested in new knowledge, but what we've got already covers that, and we need to be talking about settled wisdom. That's what people expect when they go to the university. Not, you know, wild new theories, but settled, established, reliable ones. Adam Kissel, the primary person who's been shepherding this statement along, says,
it seems to me that the word cultivating is sufficient to signal the research part of our mission. And I would be against the idea of downgrading the concept of wisdom in favor of very general words like perspectives and approaches. If we instead focused on content, I still think that cultivating covers research content better than just saying there's lots of perspectives and approaches. Giving up on the idea of established wisdom and leading thought is the core part of that sentence is something I wouldn't support.
So he feels like the revision would be abandoning the commitment to established wisdom. He also feels like innovation and generating new ideas is actually covered in the statement because cultivating is the original word and cultivating is a developmental, progressive, advancing kind of word. Dick Baker, who was notably in his last meeting yesterday because they are not yesterday, but in December because they rolled off members of the old board, Dick Baker, Lonzi Scott, and I forget his first name. Anyway, Hsu is his last name. HSU is his last name. He doesn't talk a lot in these meetings, but the three of them left and we have new members coming on in the January meeting. So Dick Baker says, well,
Trustee Baker,
I'd like to recommend approval of that neutrality statement with the revision that was submitted by the faculty senate.
So he moves for the revision. So you have, on the one hand, you have Heather Riddell and Dick Baker wanting the revision, representing the faculty. You have Adam Kissel kind of representing DeSantis saying we don't want this revision. Zach Smith, who always bats for DeSantis, whatever DeSantis tells him to do, or, you know, he feels like is DeSantis' idea. That's basically what he does. He says,
I would tend to agree with Trustee Kissel. I certainly appreciate Trustee Riddell's perspective. But from at least the way I read this language, I don't think there's anything contained in there that would suggest that this would in any way inhibit or hamper any university faculty's ability to research or pursue grants or funds or do any of the other excellent work that is already taking place.
Okay, so he's siding with Adam Kissel, and he's saying, look, we all value the generation of new knowledge, but we don't think this statement impedes that, and we don't like the way this is shifting in favor of new knowledge away from an emphasis on established wisdom. Heather Riddell, again, the faculty senate, she teaches at the University of West Florida, she says,
it's not necessarily shifting away from the idea of established wisdom and leading thought, but it's taking it into a perspective where we're saying, there's academic freedom and there is this initiative and this motivation for faculty to not only have a research agenda, but to continue it and be able to be a leader in research within the region.
And you can kind of see that there's a, you know, sort of two views on this notion of UWF's role, whether it is supposed to be generating, creating, advancing, or simply repeating, perpetuating, you know, the things that are established. And this is a sort of a big philosophical difference between the members of the board and also between the board itself and obviously the faculty senate, who are the ones who are proposing this change. Again, it might not seem like a big deal to you, but they're fighting over it because they believe that it is a significant difference in terms of what UWF's nature going forward is going to be, kind of its mission statement when it comes to ideas and neutrality towards competing claims about any of the controversial ones. Lonzi Scott, who is also one of the leaving, he's actually off the board now. It's his last meeting.
For me, this is one of those Admiral Mullins moments. We're hearing a faculty person tell this board what is important to the organization. And we've got board members who seem to think they know better. And I'm going to reject that statement, Trustee Smith and Trustee Kissel. You don't know. That is not the best. He's an expert at running educational programs. You're not. You're just a policy guy. And so is Mr. Kissel. We're all just policy folks. Listen to the experts tell us what is important for our students. And that's who I am going to support on this effort.
See, I told you there'd be some payoff. Lonzi Scott is like, why don't you two sit down? You're not teachers. You don't know. And you're not leading this organization in a way that makes the people you're leading happy. The teachers are telling you this isn't good enough. We want something different. And we know best because we are the teachers. And you're telling them, no, you don't know best. You're telling them, sit down and shut up. We don't care. And that's a I mean, that's a pretty major slap in the face to the educators who are actually representing the university and teaching to the students. You're basically telling them that their idea of what this university is not acceptable, and you're going to impose your view as the kind of DeSantis view upon them, and, you know, well, tough. You know, fish or cut bait. If you don't like it, you can always just leave. Adam Kissel responds to Lonzie Scott.
I would like to correct Trustee Scott. I'm a professor at Trinity College in Hartford, Connecticut, and I have my own students, and I'm a full member of the voting membership of the Faculty Senate at Trinity College. So I think you're incorrect in your understanding of what I know and what
still
I don't.
The policy applies.
Remember, he was scolding him for not being a teacher, and he is a teacher. So a little bit of a fair comeback from Adam Kissel. But still, the question is, what do the teachers here believe in? What do they believe that they are supposed to be doing? Dick Baker, who always has something incredibly smart to say, says,
just thinking that if we're going to oppose something that the Faculty Senate decided some deliberation, I'm sure, I think it ought to be something pretty darn significant. And I think adding this sentence that they're talking about here is not that kind of a thing, and that we certainly can adopt that. And it really is not going to have any tremendous consequence, in my opinion.
So he says, look, it costs us very little to allow them what they're asking for. They have, clearly the teachers have come together and thought this was important to them. If we're going to just ignore their request to direct the shape of the mission of this university or its new statement on neutrality, we ought to have a really good reason. You guys haven't given good reasons. You've just said, let's stick with the old one, and it's good enough, but they don't think it's good enough. The teachers don't. So let them have it. And then the vote goes, how do you think this went, John? Did the people who have been with the university for years and years and years in the Senate and the students, did they win? Or did the DeSantis appointees win?
DeSantis employees.
That's right. The DeSantis employees had a vote. Or not employees, appointees, excuse
That's
me.
That's what I was...
anyway, and other than Ed Fleming, who voted with them, they voted 8-5, and they shot down the amended version. And then they voted 9-4. Bennett, who is the student Senate president, she actually switched to vote for the policy in the end. She wanted the change, but she figured she would support the policy because it's better than nothing, and it's actually a pretty good policy, except for they didn't approve the change. So on the last day in office, three of the non-DeSantis appointees got their face kicked in it over the fact that they thought they should side with the faculty and make the statement as the faculty wanted it. So there you go. That's your brief moment to begin. You know, little UWF drama. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors. In an easy-to-apply stick, and it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick, soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Join Kenny Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care this morning at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pizza's here.
Oh, great. I'd love some, but I'm worried about my stomach issues.
If you're worried about having diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools, it may not just be stomach issues. It could be a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You've got to think for yourselves. You're all individuals.
Yes, we're all individuals.
You're all different.
Yes.
We'll be right back.
Good morning, 529 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We've got David is back from his much-deserved hiatus. Welcome back, David. Good to have you back, sir.
Look what the cat drug in today, right?
What do you got in the headlines, sir?
Well, Venezuela's got a new leader today. Delcy Rodriguez, the former vice president, was sworn in as the head of state on Monday. This is after the U.S. capture and removal of Nicolas Maduro. Rodriguez condemned the U.S. military action and referred to Maduro and his wife as heroes that are being held hostage.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, as you know, as we said many, 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 many times yesterday, going forward is going to be an interesting question. You know, is he, even though he's in our custody, is he still the actual president? You know, like the vice president sworn in yesterday and saying, we still consider him the leader. You know, nobody else considers him the leader. And like more than 50 countries around the world thought that he ought to be removed from power until he was actually removed from power. And then like, oh, I don't know.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. The so-called Gang of Eight, a bipartisan group of top lawmakers from both the House and Senate, listening to a briefing about the strike that removed Nicolas Maduro from power in Venezuela.
Republicans and Democrats have very different takeaways. House Speaker Mike Johnson says the U.S. is not at war with Venezuela and wants the country's behavior to change.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, like many Democrats, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer offered a different take.
This briefing, while very extensive and long, posed far more questions than it ever answered.
In federal court Monday, Maduro and his wife pleaded not guilty to a number of drug charges. Ukraine's allies meeting in Paris say they are committed to a system of politically and legally binding guarantees that will be activated once a ceasefire enters into force. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 64 degrees, partly cloudy skies, and we will get a look at our full forecast with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3. That's up here in just a few minutes. A New York man that's accused of stalking Escambia County Clerk of Court Pam Childers and firebombing a car near her home will be undergoing a mental health examination. 35-year-old Justin Wright is charged with cyber stalking, attempted interstate extortion, and use of fire to commit a federal felony. Now, his trial was scheduled to start yesterday. That's been canceled pending the competency evaluation. Federal prosecutors say Wright also committed arson on two other vehicles in New York. A note found at the firebombing scene reportedly read, quote, "Send the money back or die." Wright pleaded not guilty. He does remain in custody. L.A. Pensacola couple is creating a new event venue. They say hopefully it'll fill a gap in the city's hospitality offerings. Nick and Chloe Sexton are building the Supposi Ballroom on East Cervantes Street at Grenada Square. The nearly 18,000-square-foot facility would have a capacity of around 1,000 people. Event planner Madrina Ciano told Channel 3 the ballroom would be the second-largest venue in Pensacola. Since New World Landing closed in 2024, Pensacola, she says, has lacked mid-sized venues for corporate events and fundraisers. The Sextons also own the smaller Supposi Warehouse and Gardens on F Street. Well, the Blue Angels have announced their 2026 air show schedule. They'll be performing in Pensacola, of course, in July on the 18th and November on the 6th and 7th. They do have additional air show dates and locations all across the country. You want to look at that list, check out the Blue Angels social media pages and website. State leaders say Florida is playing a leading role in federal immigration enforcement efforts.
If you're an illegal immigrant, you probably do not want to be in Florida.
Attorney General James Uthmeyer, he says Florida now leads the country in immigration enforcement activity. Governor Ron DeSantis says more than 10,000 people have been arrested statewide and transferred to the Department of Homeland Security as part of Operation Tidal Wave. The governor said deportation flights have increased out of facilities in Baker County and Miami-Dade with help from federal immigration judges assigned to review those cases more quickly. Well, a woman who was once paid millions from the state to help victims of domestic violence is admitting to committing fraud. Tiffany Carr reached a deal yesterday in which she pled guilty to organized fraud and official misconduct. She was formerly the president and CEO of the Florida Coalition Against Domestic Violence. and was responsible for passing out federal grant money to more than 40 shelters across the state. Carr and CFO Patricia Duarte are accused of using millions of dollars for themselves. As part of a plea deal, she will avoid prison time but get 10 years of probation, pay a $260,000 fine, and testify against Duarte. Well, the new year is here, and News Radio's Chris Bryan out with this report. He says there's an exciting lineup of events
Christmas
on the way.
Christmas and New Year's are now just a fond memory, so how long do we have to wait for the next holiday? Not long, as the MLK Jr. Day is coming in 2 weeks. That will happen on Monday, January 19th. The day is both a federal and Florida holiday. Students in all 67 counties will have the day off, giving everyone a three-day weekend, since the holiday is always observed on a Monday. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. 5:35, let's get a check on our forecast with Channel 3 and Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing some fog in the morning hours. Dense fog advisory is in place through the morning hours. By the afternoon, fog should burn off. Partly cloudy skies, high near 74 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 62 with fog still possible. Heading into your Wednesday, high near 75 degrees, partly cloudy skies. And Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 61. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
64 degrees right now. We've got partly cloudy skies this morning. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Frank Miller with Your Money Now. Well, Danish drug maker Novo Nordisk has officially launched a daily pill version of its popular weight loss drug, Wegovy. It's the first time a GLP-1 drug has been made available in tablet form. The new option is rolling out to over 70,000 pharmacies and select telehealth providers across the country this week. Manufacturer is offering a starter dose for $149 a month to improve accessibility to those patients paying out of pocket. The move provides a more convenient alternative for those who prefer oral medications over traditional weekly injections. And Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado says she's heading back to Venezuela to help tear down Nicolas Maduro's old government. She told Fox News she's getting ready to work, but President Trump isn't rolling out the red carpet just yet. He's already pushing back on the idea of the U.S. backing her for the presidency, claiming she doesn't have the respect or support that she needs to lead. On Wall Street, stocks are looking for more momentum today after closing higher on Monday. The Dow touching record highs, and that's Your Money Now.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Greater Pensacola's leaders are in the tallest buildings and smallest shops. And they come together here to drive growth in innovation, to bridge industries, to share fresh ideas, and to understand how they can play a part in Greater Pensacola's success. The Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. We believe local businesses are the cornerstone of a great community.
A better air filter on your air conditioner is nice, but it isn't enough. It takes a lot more than that to clean the air that you breathe. This is Todd with Gulf Coast Air Care. On Wednesday's Pep Talk, we'll talk about how to keep pollen, bacteria, and other pollutants out of your lungs. Remember what I always say, if you don't have a good air filter, you are one. Let's talk Wednesday morning at 9:30 on Pep Talk.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
Tune to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpia Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm a chicken fried, a cold beer on a Friday night, a
a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio. Whoa.
Andrew McKay, it's Ben Scola Morning News. Jimmy Patronis is our congressman from Florida's Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Nothing happened over the weekend. You want to just talk to me next week?
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
All right, cool. See ya.
I got a leaky toilet right now, so.
Well, good luck. Good luck with that. Okay, so obviously the only news in the universe right now is that we snatched Nicolas Maduro out of his bed with his wife in the middle of the night, and then had a long conversation about oil and oil rights and who's running Venezuela, and you know whether we're going to get involved in another land war anywhere, let alone in South America and so forth. Let's start with this. When you first heard the news, what was your first reaction?
Well, I think first reaction was, it's not like Nicolas Maduro didn't know this was coming. He was given a number of options and solutions to be cooperative, to work with the United States government. Hell, we parked an aircraft carrier off the coast of his country. So if you didn't think something was going to happen, you were living under a rock.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I didn't know what to expect, and so this was a surprise to me. But yeah, especially if you know what they've been saying about they've been negotiating with him and trying to get him to surrender all this time, that yeah, it can't have been any real surprise to him. Okay, so let's kind of break the pieces apart. The snatch and grab, I assume, as far as you're concerned, that was perfectly legal and an amazing demonstration of American military capability.
Yeah, he was indicted and they went in, and there was FBI and Department of Justice officials, embedded in these teams that went in. Our good friends in the military were just, a hell of a security transportation force to allow the arrest to take place.
Then second level is the oil, the possibility of, through threat primarily, I think at this point, of subsequent action. The Trump administration says American oil companies are going to have the ability to get back in there, recoup some of their $10 billion judgment, their losses of oil rights and so forth, and we're going to rebuild Venezuelan oil with American companies. What do you think about that?
So where the Maduro regime went and commandeered and took over those assets, there is going to be some of those assets, in my opinion, that should be returning back to their rightful owners. So, again, I'm not looking at the balance sheet to know how those assets were divvied up or under ownership at what time of their existence. But, look, if Trump is going to be in the process of screwing up some theft that's taken place, great. Let's move forward and continue to right these injustices.
The big open question right now about the government of Venezuela, President Trump keeps saying that we're running it. Rubio has said my interpretation of Rubio's comments is that we're going to be influencing the government. And if they don't do the things that we're saying to do, then, we have all their alternatives. Meanwhile, we're holding the oil blockade. Meanwhile, we're going to keep taking out drug boats if they keep coming. We're going to keep all of that stuff up. Are you concerned about what sounds like a lack of a plan, or do you think the plan is scare them once real good and then hope that the next, the younger kid saw what we did to the older kid kind of thing?
Yeah, look, I think, there's been some dialogues with the new vice president who has now assumed the role of president or interim president, however they want to call her. I think there's going to be some, dialogues that are taking place. They'll size up how that stuff goes. But if you still have indications of business as usual taking place, I think there'll be more of an intervention of the U.S. administration and a role there. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. It's obvious that you were condoning and supporting and facilitating narco-terrorism and bringing, illegal drugs into the United States. And you want to continue to facilitate it, enough's enough. Hopefully, she sees this as an opportunity to clean up her country. But, we'll see. I think it's a little bit of a stretch where you will have this president removed and the opposition leader will be then installed in office. There'll be an effort to want to have as much of a clean, normal election as possible, but they haven't had one in, 20 years.
Right. Yeah, and I'm the same way. I'm very I find myself pretty optimistic about what could happen if the people are allowed to vote and you have an election and then you have, you know, the other party wins. And then we can kind of be a little bit even more hands off at that point. You know, maybe we see a kind of a renaissance in Venezuela. And what it took was just, you know, for other reasons, not because we disagree with the politics, but for other reasons, taking out basically an unelected dictator who was an narco-terrorist.
Yeah, but you're talking about a population that has been beaten down with fear and oppressed for, you know, a generation. So, I mean, it's to think that this is going to turn into a normal, you know, living, breathing country overnight. You know, they're pretty shell-shocked as I mean, it's got hit by a hurricane.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, nation hoping is not nation building, and even nation building hasn't been all that successful, unfortunately, because as we often find out, the population is going to decide. And, you know, is the population capable of self-governance, or are they going to reestablish the Taliban? I mean, you know, that's.
Yeah, that's right.
In terms of the possibility prospect of American larger involvement, I am assuming, but again, that's why I'm asking these questions. If we were actually going to be physically involved in Venezuela, which I do not think is a great idea, but if we decided to do that, at that point, you got to go to Congress. You got to go to the UN, right?
I mean, I would assume that's going to be the case. Tomorrow, we're actually supposed to be having a briefing from the president himself. So I'm sure we'll hear maybe a little bit more of a vision tomorrow in our briefing. But, I mean, a lot has transpired over the last 24 hours.
Right.
And it's been interesting seeing the world community of who has come out supportive and who has come out aghast by what has taken place. So, I mean, you're forcing some true colors to start to be exposed. But mince no words, this guy was a bad dude. He was facilitating bad things. You know, I'm sure, you know, right now Cuba is really wondering, you know, where their relationship in the northern Western Hemisphere is going to be dependent on for supplies and goods. Same thing in Nicaragua.
Right.
You know, as you know, there's been a little bit of a hit of some reset buttons, and that's okay. You know what? We've had an administration for the last 4 years that has just totally allow our opponents to grow a larger foothold in the northern and western. China runs so many critical, you know, intermodal centers all over the Caribbean, and you know our allies in the Caribbean have continued to express concerns with this. Where's the United States? Why are we allowing China to come and be a part of this part of the world? You know, shouldn't you be asserting yourself and helping us ensure that we're not, you know, in the grips of folks that we don't think they're our friends?
Yeah, I mean, please protect us. Please remember the Monroe Doctrine. You know, please exert your power and your influence and, you know, save us from these influences. So one of the things, to me, I don't think, you know, Trump has not really come out and said this an awful lot, but you can see the pieces of it lining up when he looks at the Panama Canal, which now has largely been, you know, China's out, right? So that's a China influence reversal. You see Venezuela and you see Cuba's influence, and I think it's very likely that we'll see. You tell me, do you think Cuba's going to collapse too? Because I would think so. I'm very optimistic about what this means for Cuba too.
I was, you know, talking to some Cuban members of Congress, and I said, you know, we're probably never going to have this much of an opportunity to right the wrongs of what the Castro regime has done over the generations there. You know, you've got families that basically their entire assets were seized by the government.
Yeah.
You know, I would love to see some normalization of where those assets that it were stolen or reunited to the rightful heirs. But yeah, it will open up a can of worms, but you've got people there that have been oppressed, and some of them don't know any different because that's where they've lived their whole entire lives,
right,
under that type of dictatorship. But you know, there's something to be said for us having a more of a control and understanding of this part of the world as Marco Rubio said yesterday, and we've just allowed that to just get away from us.
Yeah, and I, you know, I actually spent the first segment of this hour kind of explaining to people what the Monroe Doctrine is and what Trump and Rubio have said about, you know, discouraging influence, about stabilizing nations so that you can avoid mass migrations and refugees, you know, sort of the whole picture of the, you know, foreign policy and economic policy for the Americas is something that I think a lot of Americans have forgotten about. But Canada benefits from this. And it even, you know, though I have been very, very cautious about how I think about the Greenland question, you know, as a sort of, you know, influence in the Americas, our national defense, you see what Trump is thinking about Greenland, right?
Yeah. Well, so here's you know, we think we touched on it a few shows ago. Right now, everything north of Alaska is being dominated by China.
Yeah.
China's got fleets of icebreakers that are just camping out there. You know, the Obama administration said, okay, no more exploration for fossils off the Arctic coast. And so, you know, now you've got basically a private industry that was trying to explore into it that has gone away. Well, you just opened the door and put out essentially milk and cookies for China to come in and just assume that role. So now we're kind of playing catch up, getting ourselves replaced in that market. But, you know, we've still got to undo a lot of it. Look, whether you explore or not, we just need to be cognizant of our borders and protect them, especially from those that, you know, want to take advantage of the circumstances that a previous administration put us in.
Yeah, you know, one of the criticisms of this move in Venezuela has been, you know, that it's either a violation of the UN Charter or that it's a violation of the Law of Nations or that it's a precedent setter. You know, we can't look at Putin for being wrong when he went into Ukraine. We would not be able to look at China as being wrong for going into Taiwan after we've gone into Venezuela. My answer has been, so far we haven't gone into Venezuela but for 2.5 hours. And that was for a very specific, limited target. And, you know, if we were to go in, that would be different. But do you think this compromises any of our international credibility on rule of law type issues?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, like I said, there were other countries out there that felt the exact same way about Maduro. You know, I mean, international law, make whatever you make of it. I mean, it's you've got there as to me something that's just feel good language, but I mean you've got others that have been sick and tired of what he has been doing to his people, how he has enriched himself through his criminal operations, and now you add insult to injury, just start making it this network hub, capital of drug distribution. And so, I mean, a lot of the chemicals and drugs, are allegedly, I mean, I'm assuming they are. They talk about how they come out of China. So we're going to go into China and start blowing up these chemical plants. You know, maybe not, but, we'll go shut down the U.S. border, but the stuff's still coming. So you know what Trump's attitude is, I'm not going to go fix problems, I'm just going to prevent problems. Then let me go take out the transportation infrastructure. So he starts taking out the boats that are bringing the drugs in, and it still doesn't seem like he gets their attention. The boats continue to come. So then, let's go ahead and cut the head off of the district manager in Maduro, who is, in this market, running the boats and keeping the trains running all the time.
No, agreed. And, even I think what makes this case particularly interesting, as opposed to had it been somebody else, is that, Maduro depriving the Venezuelans of the proper results of the election, making it so they can't even vote for the person they would have wanted to vote for, the criminal behavior with the gangs and the drugs and, the taking and sending of oil illegitimately to embargoed nations. It's a collage of things that make him an easy and legal target that might not be applicable to other political leaders in other countries that we might be concerned about. And again, what I've been saying all morning is, until we do something else or more or propose something else or more, so far we're in good ground. We're talking about things that make me uncomfortable, like the oil, okay, or like running the country. But we haven't done that yet. And if we're not doing that, then we don't need Congress's approval. At least I don't think so. But if we did go to war or actually started to be more interventionist, then we would, right?
You're going to see more. Look, Was Congress somewhat caught off guard? Look, you'd have to live under a rock now. This was something was going to happen.
Right.
You literally could not say, hey, we're going to take Maduro out, because we can't even have a closed conference meeting in Washington, D.C. without somebody live leaking it to the press.
Right. So,
I mean, you know, it is what it is. We're human beings, and some of these human beings that just can't contain themselves to want to gossip and share news to the press. So, I mean, yeah, so the administration could not take a chance of talking about, you know, arresting Maduro ahead of time. And one thing else, Andrew, I want to point out that I think we are not praising enough is no loss of life, flawless military mission. Hell, all those men and women who pulled all this thing, they were all trained in Northwest Florida.
Yeah.
You know, and does it kind of like a stick in my eye that you got these, you know, crazy protesters in Pensacola this week that were, you know, adamant against, you know, I kind of feel like, you know what, you got your right to freedom of speech. That's all fine and well, you know, I hear you. But, you know, I'm just on the flip side, I'm trying to make the glass half full. You know, you can protest. I know that the best and brightest and most lethal weapons we have in the whole entire United States military come right here from Northwest Florida. And,
absolutely,
you know, it just shows you just, you know, just a bunch of, you know, human rock stars, you know.
Yeah, and by the way, you don't know this, I think, you personally don't know this, but I can tell you for a fact that the, like, 11 people or whatever who were protesting in Pensacola and Palafox are, I recognize several of them as being members of the local Socialist Party, the Party for Socialism and Liberation. Yeah. And so literally it was the socialists out upset that we arrested the communists. So don't be too worried about how those people represent Northwest Florida. Jimmy Petronis.
Did you drink coffee with them? How do you know who they were?
Oh, they go and speak at city council and county commission meetings. So I know exactly who they are. In fact, one of them was actually wearing his shirt, to his credit. He was wearing his shirt, his red shirt, you know, for being a red.
I'm just trying to poke at you.
Well, also coffee. Jimmy Petronis, he is our congressman from Northwest Florida District 1. Jimmy, thank you for the time, sir. As always, we'll talk to you next week. Happy New Year.
Yeah, we missed you last week. Not too much, but we did miss you. So Happy New Year.
Thanks so much. Congressman's got jokes. All right, 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters. Tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel, they'll be discussing their Atlas Beverage Class, Winter Restaurant Week, dinner in an Aria at Jackson's, Pensacon at the Fish House, Valentine's Day, and so much more on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When emergencies happen in Florida, every second counts. Beacon keeps you informed. It's the new statewide network bringing official emergency alerts straight from the Florida Division of Emergency Management and agencies statewide. No hype, no ads, just clear, verified updates to help protect you and your family. Download the free Beacon 24/7 Alerts app in your app store. Brought to you by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, the University of Florida, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I had the weirdest... This is not a good thought. Channel 3's got a story up on the TV about how Wheel of Fortune just turned 51 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what my thought was? Oh, well, I'm older than that.
Oh, no, Andrew. Andrew. That was your thought.
I'm not sure I should be bragging about that.
That's on you, man.
That whippersnapper Wheel of Fortune. I remember when Wheel of Fortune first started. Instead of a more normal response is, man, that is a long time.
And that's what I was thinking.
Okay. Aren't you, you're like 58?
51. Boy, you better wash your mouth out with soap.
David Wayne's in the newsroom with the headline for us, David.
Those trendy new shows like that, Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, I hope it works.
The federal welfare trial of former pro wrestler Ted DiBiase Jr. is getting underway in Mississippi today. Now, this is that big case where prosecutors claim he defrauded the Mississippi Department of Human Services out of millions of dollars through a series of fake contracts. He faces charges of conspiracy, wire fraud, and money laundering.
What would a professional wrestler know about making things look real that aren't?